dead. Dead.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to yet another episode of Craft Beer is Dead. I'm one of your hosts, Bree the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by...
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Chris.
We have Chris Face, and we have Tyler. Hi, Tyler.
Just Tyler. No, Hi, no Tyler. Nicknames. How are you guys
cheek.
Doing
Hi,
today?
Tyler. Hi, butt cheek.
You can't call me that just yet. You haven't earned it.
You told us it was, though.
Right, but that doesn't mean you can call me.
His phone case is labeled butt cheek. We asked. He said, that's my nickname. And that's where we're at.
That's just what Allie calls me. little hot flower, if you will.
So we are sitting down today with Tyler for no rhyme or reason. And we're going to shoot the shit. And hopefully you guys pick up what we're putting down. Because you need to pick your shit up.
It's like that game as a kid. It's like pick up sticks, but right here it's pick up shits. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Right. Precisely. Now we got a lot to pick up.
All right, Tyler, what do you do? Who are you? What do you do for a living?
What's your maiden?
Yeah, what's your maiden
Social
name?
Social Security number.
The name that I was born with was Vandergalian, which is far removed from where I'm at now. But I do work at Angry Chair Brewing Company. I am the located in Seminole Heights, Tampa, Florida. I'm the wood cellar
never
manager.
Heard of it.
I manage the barrel program there, and I brew beers there, and I sell our beers there also. So,
okay, first question. Weirdest thing about barrels, what?
Weirdest thing about barrels is I'll fill them, and then they'll be good for 2 or 3 months, and then I'll come in one day, and they have just leaked all over the floor.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. I mean, it does once you get into it, but, you know, at the beginning of that whole thing, it just didn't make any sense to me. I was like, how is this possible? Our barrels are kept in a non-temperature controlled warehouse, so it's just whatever the temperature is outside. If it's hot, it's extra hot in the warehouse. If it's cold, it's extra cold in the warehouse.
What makes them leak?
The staves shrink.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or, I mean, any number of reasons, but, like, you know, I'm moving stacks around pretty constantly, and if I pick up a stack and they're not stacked properly, like a stack of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, if I'm moving a stack of 6 around, like,
Jesus,
you can they shift. I mean, that's a lot of weight.
It is a lot of weight. People don't understand.
I mean,
you can move
a
hoop.
Like a
you can accidentally shift a hoop, or, you know, you can just agitate something that was not meant to be agitated. I kind of equate it to, like, if you get your oil changed on your car for its entire lifetime, and you're up at 150,000 miles, and you decided to do an engine flush. Which is going to clean all the crud and gunk out of your engine, you might potentially expose some leaks that crud was covering up or sealing. And that, it's just kind of the same thing. It's wood. It's a living, breathing thing. And you're going to get oxygen ingression. You're going to get a bunch of stuff that you did not plan for. I think it's really neat, and that's why I do love my job so much is – you never know it all, and I feel like that's how we feel about beer for everybody's. Like, you'll never know everything there is to know about beer, and when you think you've known it all, something new will come about the same day. So,
hands on,
really cool.
How long have you been there again?
Almost 4 years. At
Damn.
This point.
How long have you been dabbling with the social media with it too?
Three years.
3 years, man.
Yeah, I was
that's
about
insane.
I was about a year in when Ryan asked me. He approached me and he was like, hey, since you work in production, he's like, and you're keen with the social media, he's like, can you grab a couple stories here and there? And it kind of just evolved and, like, snowballed into this whole thing where now I just do all the social media.
How many followers did you have when you first took it on?
27,000.
Now you're over 46 or something?
I think we're at 44.
44?
That's pretty impressive,
dude.
That's
a huge, huge amount of growth in that amount of time.
I will say the content has gotten better. I will also not take... I'm not going to give myself that much credit. We're a big brand at this point. I feel like we're pretty much a household name when it comes to a specific market of craft beer, which is the hype sector, whatever you want to call that. You know, we make the barrel-aged stouts that people want with all the adjuncts in it. And I feel like the amount of followers that we've gained is just the natural progression of the brand. I feel like I've definitely helped it along, but by no means is is our social media following because of our social media? It's just because of the product that we put out and the demand that people have for it for some reason. Very appreciative for it, but
I agree and disagree with that. I think you post like almost every day with it, and that consistency, I mean, that really matters to people. So I think that it's a lot more of your effort than you think.
Consistency is definitely key when it comes to social media, but at the same time, you're not trying to beat your followers down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I take into account, is because before I was ever even in craft beer, like, I was paying attention to social media, and it's like, if you make 3 or 4 posts a day, I'm probably going to mute you or unfollow you, to be completely honest with you.
Because the quality is just sure to go down. Even if you have a full marketing department, there's no way that you're going to be able to pull off 3 decent posts in a day. There's just no way.
Yeah, and the only, there's obviously exceptions to every rule. I mean, if you're doing a triple can drop, a triple bottle drop, like, sure, make a post for each one. Give it the time and attention it deserves. Yeah. But outside of that, like, you shouldn't be like, trivia's tonight, and then a separate post. Oh, also, we just tapped this beer, and then a separate post. Oh, also, it's happy hour from 5 to 7. Like, just consolidate it, you know? Like, the people that are going to see it are going to see it. At this point, the algorithm is so specific that people are lucky to see one of your posts, whether or not you make 1 or 3 a day. But what it boils down to for me is that I'm a human, and I have a separate job. I brew the beers. I sell the beers in addition to Horace and Jordan. That's our team there. And that's my day job. Social media is not my main focus. It's after I'm done with my 8 to 10 hour shift in the back, then I'll focus on social media.
Sure.
And so, you know, if it's a Wednesday and we're open at 4 and it's 4 o'clock and I'm still at work, I might be able to snap a photo and get a post up, but
I wonder how many brewers are doing what you're doing.
And that's the thing. I think a bunch
are on social, doing the social too.
Big
brands. All right. We'll take it back. The mom and pops, like the small time. Yeah. I do think that they're the ones doing it too, but they're also the ones with maybe like 1 or 2,000 followers or whatever. But a big ass brand like Angry Chair, I don't believe a lot of brewers in that category are doing that.
I think it really just depends on the platform of the business itself. I think you get people who get into the industry who they know what they don't know, so they outsource or whatever. But then you also get a lot of people that get into the industry who are like, okay, I know how to make beer, or okay, I know how to engineer stuff, or I can do this, and this. And then they realize to cut costs, to cut expenses, they have to wear multiple hats as opposed to literally just outsourcing everything possible. And not saying you can see that through a lot of other brands through their social media, but there's a lot of them that were like, you can see it and be like, all right, well, they obviously have a social media person.
Yeah.
Right.
But or it just you seems can like the brewer's the busiest person that I just would never think that would be like, oh, who am I going to ask? Well, oh, I know the busiest person.
It honestly kind of goes hand in hand. And I saw this a lot when I was bartending also as a brewer, that the customer really likes to engage with someone who knows the product very well.
And absolutely.
Of course, you train your bartenders properly, of course, they're going to know the product front and back. But when you have someone that makes the product, I feel like, they just offer an insight to your customers that it's truly a fresh look and on how this product came to be what it is. And you're the one serving it to them. And I feel like they really enjoy that. And I feel like social media kind of incorporates those same aspects of like, this is a very marketable thing. It's like, I know more about the beer than the bartender or the social media person might. And I do feel like, you know, for the smaller mom and pop shops, sure, they can't afford to pay someone just to do social media. And even the bigger companies that do pay someone just for social media, you're not going to get the kind of intimacy that you're going to find on our page, because I make the beer, I write the descriptions, I take the photos. And it's just like, when you have someone that knows the product like that, you're truly getting like the brewer's notes. And we do like a, you know, we have a barrel select series or whatever. This is my personal project in collaboration with our owner, Ryan. We kind of just go through these barrels and pick our favorite expressions of our favorite bases with our favorite barrels. And we'll put them out in these small format bottles called NIPS, N-I-P-S. Yes, it's funny. They're 6.3 ounce bottles. It's very, very tiny. But when I'm typing a description for something like that, it's very personal to me.
Yeah.
Because Ryan and I have literally hand selected these barrels from over 200 barrels and narrowed it down to a single wooden barrel to bottle, you know, 700 of these little bottles. And so, like, when I'm typing up the description for that, like, it's very intimate. It's something that I've spent so much time with and so much time tasting and so much time developing with my team, you know, Jordan, Horace, Ryan, Ben. that it's very important to me. And I don't know if you're going to get that from another, from just a social media person. That's just their whole job is social media. So.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because like coming from like a sales background too, you know, you can almost see these different brands, these different profiles and stuff to where they almost just sound like a talking sales sheet, essentially. Whereas with that, you know, for those of you who aren't involved in the process, and we're not to the extent that he is with, say, like the barrel aging process, where like you're tasting every other day, or like you're literally just watching this thing grow into a different realm of things, and you have a, not to put words in your mouth or anything, but like from personal experience, you have this idea of where it's going to go. But at the same time, there is that romanticism of like it's going to grow legs of its own. It's going to take on its own like profile. It's going to do things that maybe you didn't fully expect. So it almost becomes this like living entity of something you've helped create, but also at the end of the day too, like you have to quantify and you have to be able to like sell it the best way possible and kind of wrap both the business aspect and the sales aspect together to where like you don't feel like you've just kind of like turned something out the door, but you can still be proud of it, if that makes
right. sense. Right. And I feel like in that specific situation, the power of suggestion goes a long way. I will say that, you know, before I really kind of took hold in this position of the social media aspect of things, you know, I would throw the beer up. Okay, here's the photo of the new beer on draft. This is what it is. This is what it's dry hopped with. This is the ABV. This is the price for a crowler. That's it. That's like, that was my template for any beer that came out. And then once I started to take the time to kind of dive into these beers and the tasting notes that us as brewers would describe, the power of suggestion goes a long way. So people expect these big, sticky, sweet stouts. And occasionally that we don't always get, you know, that desired target. We'll get a drier product with notes of this and this and this, and we'll say that, and it'll kind of skew the ratings in a positive way because people are informed versus going in blind and being like, oh, this is kind of dry. I get these notes of fig or raisin or plum. And instead of going in blind, they have that preconceived notion of this is what this is supposed to taste like, and it skews the ratings in a positive way, and the power of suggestion is so crazy. So that's kind of like when I found that out, and that correlation is when I started to take more time for the descriptions of these products and kind of putting out our notes on especially barrel-aged beers or down to like IPAs and sours, which is, you know, it gets kind of old saying, you know, notes of citrus and fucking watermelon rind after so long, but
absolutely,
it helps. It really does. And like once you're in tune with your customer base like that, like,
that's a lot more psychological, I guess, than
for sure
most people think.
That's got to be a lot social. Of fun. Yeah, it's got to be a lot of fun, too, because there definitely is a lot of power within that. But it can be a lot of fun for somebody trying to steer that ship because you can't use the same vernacular all the time. You do have to kind of, like, start looking into, okay, I need to build my own flavor, mental flavor wheel or
absolutely. Things that I can be, like. Flavor wheel is huge.
It's awesome. I love those things because, like, you can look at those, like, floral. Cool. What is floral? Is it jasmine? Is it geranium? Is it rose? Is it all these different kind of things? And it almost forces you to kind of get a little bit better as well to be able to dive a little bit more in and diversify your portfolio other than taking two things that are vastly different and just giving them the same adjective.
Right. And it's, I definitely, I am no different than anybody else. I am guilty of reusing the same vernacular. If I'm in a pinch and I'm not doing it back to back, like if we release two double IPAs in the same week, I'm not going to say similar things about them because they are definitely very different beers. But if I release a double IPA this week, and say I released a double IPA 6 months ago, I might reuse a couple of those keywords, buzzwords, if you will, just because I'm stressed for time and I don't have time to actually sit there and analyze the beer with the guys. And I feel like that's, again, one of the beautiful things about being a brewer and also doing the social media is all these tasting notes you're getting, they're not just mine. They're something that we sat down and we had like a whole meeting about. And these are the notes and the expressions that we got, and that's what I put on the social media. And it really helps because it solidifies a solid viewpoint as a brew crew or a brew team for this specific beer. And it's not just one guy like speaking for the whole brand. It's all of us. Hmm. Like, it's so awesome. You know, it's all a team effort. Whether or not I'm the one hitting the post button or not, it's still a team effort. It's awesome.
Which stout did you guys have the most fun dissecting and analyzing? Do you remember?
Well, anything new, we're going to be overly critical of, and we're definitely going to dissect it because we have our hits. We have the Rocky Road, the Imperial German Chocolate Cupcake Stout, and things like that. those are just proven winners. Those are definitely proven. But anything new that we come up with, which is at this point pretty hard because we feel like, not to speak for them, but I feel like we've come up with so many different flavor combinations that we're kind of like shooting blanks at this point where it's like, oh, maybe we do this. And someone will be like, well, didn't we do that like 2 years ago? And it was this beer. And we had to like look back on the label and be like, oh yeah, no, we did do that beer.
How do you guys go through? Do you just still have all the labels or you just have it cataloged? I mean, there has to be so fucking many at this point.
We use this brewery management software called Ecos. It is a great program. It has everything that we've ever brewed since we've used it, of course, which has been going on like 2 years at this point. So everything that we've brewed in the last 2 years is in Ecos. But we do have a cooler door full of labels that we've used, much like you guys have here. I saw in your cooler door you have a bunch of labels that you guys have done.
And you reference them
cans
too?
Cans of. And absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty cool.
If someone says, let's do a maple cinnamon coffee stout, I will go to the label wall and see, okay, so we did French toast with those exact ingredients on this exact base 2.5 years ago. So it would just be French toast. It's not a new beer. It's you know, it's that beer. So it's definitely a good mix. We do have like brew logs and treatment logs from before we used Ecos longer than 2 years ago that we still reference. Anytime we do treatments on like a single half barrel keg, like Horace is referencing treatment logs that I have written, you know, past Ecos, that brewing management software, but really nifty tool. Yeah, I mean, definitely, because we'll think we're on to something. We're like, oh, we'll do a maple cinnamon, we'll do a maple cinnamon coffee vanilla porter. And then I'll go check the wall and be like, no, dude, that's just French toast. We've done that.
We've already run into that too, especially with like sours too nowadays. With
it's so tough.
Different types of fruits and marshmallows and vanilla and all these different things you can throw in there, right? It only gets to a certain point where we're like 2-3 years down the road, we're like, what if we do this? And we're like, no, we pretty much already did that, except it had marshmallows and not
vanilla. And that's the thing too, is just like a single ingredient could be the breaker, you know? And I think we're at this point now where we're kind of in the mindset of like highlighting specific varietals of ingredients to make it different. So I know a specific example of this is we did Fudge Bucket, which is our cacao and vanilla Imperial Sweet Stout. That's it. Nothing else. No marshmallows, no coconut. And then we did a Ugandan cacao nib and an Ecuadorian cacao nib version. Released them side by side. It was the same batch of beer. We just treated them with different varietals of cacao nibs, and they tasted absolutely different.
Oh, yeah.
And we released them, and lo and behold, the results said the same thing. Like, these taste so different. And I forget which one everyone preferred, but one was like a fudgy, you know, kind of like milk chocolatey expression. And the other one was kind of like a nice dark chocolate, figgy, earthy representation of that ingredient. And the results were stark. But that's kind of the mode that we're on now, is like, if we're going to do Imperial German Chocolate Cupcake, maybe we use a different varietal of coconut or something weird. But beer is at this point almost redundant, depending on where you're at. And it's so tough to come up with. I know you feel it, Chris.
It's no, just dude, like, hands down, man. That's a whole conversation in its own. Yeah. I'm not sure how you got into it, but I remember like getting really, really into brewing and stuff like that, and all these revolutionary ideas that I thought I had.
I'm not waiting for a pause anymore. I'm opening this beer.
Tell us what it is. I'll pause that conversation for a second.
I'm like, I'm going to hold this for another 5 minutes, or I'm just going to pour it and get it over with chocolate orange. I don't know.
I think it was lupulin, wasn't it?
It's lupulin, but I don't know what. Can you read? Can you tell what that says? It's just a tricky font. That's why.
Lateralis.
Lateralis. All right. I knew it wasn't a word I was familiar with. Ooh, so
that's a thick one.
Yeah.
That looks too thick for me.
Says the guy.
Exactly.
Who makes?
I think the best part, and I like to tell this story because it has nothing to do with me, which is why it's so appealing, is our head brewer, and since the beginning, our head brewer, Ben Romano, kind of set the precedence of Angry Chair way early on, back when him and Ryan used to work at Cigar City. They did our first Angry Chair tap takeover there, where Imperial German, or not Imperial, actually, just German chocolate cupcake stout was a 5.6% stout,
mm-hmm.
which is incredibly crazy to me because now the regular German chocolate cupcake is still 8% and the imperial version is 10.5% to 11.5% depending on the final gravity. And so, like, you know, Engertair's definitely come a long way, but Homeboy from the beginning is lactose intolerant.
Okay. No way.
And so, like, the entire foundation of Engertair is built upon sweet stout, which for those that don't know is made with lactose, and he's lactose intolerant. And so, you know, we set this huge stout precedence, and people, you know, they come in and they That's people funny. Are awesome in the way that they're always giving. And so they'll come and drop off these beers that I would never have the opportunity to try, and they're always bringing us stouts and sweet stouts at that, made with lactose, giving them to Ben from the beginning, and Ben's like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm lactose intolerant. I can't drink these, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, no.
But I can't drink these, or I'm going to have a diarrhea. that's the technical term, I believe. And I just think it's really funny, and even myself, like, when I worked at Cigar City, I was waiting in the lines at Engertair. Like, I was a customer. I paid for all my beers and stuff. And I used to eat that shit up, drink it up, whatever. Lactose, sweet stout, whatever. I don't care if it had a sugar content. I was so into it. And now I don't even, want to smell them.
I was about to say, the smell must just get you.
All right. Just being around it all day anyway, that's got to be enough. And honestly, too, I've said it before, and I hope this doesn't sound disrespectful in any way. Like, always love those beers. I love the interpretations. I love where brewers can go with them. It's those. It's crazy fruited sours. It's all these big, giant, double hazy IPAs. Like, all these different beers that are super hypeable now where, like, still to this day, I don't understand how people can drink more than 16 ounces of them.
Yeah.
Because I respect them. Genuinely, I do. But do I want to have more than 4 ounces?
No.
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 Absolutely Same. Not, man. Which Same. Is... you know, kind of segueing into another facet of what you guys do very well that outside looking in, I think everyone knows you guys for your stouts. But you guys also do extremely well with lighter beers, light lagers, pilsners, those kinds
yeah,
of
stuff. Yeah, so that's our passion project.
And that's the thing, man.
What's
it's
the
like,
name? Full Circle? What's it called?
Well, we have a Full Circle. It's full American circle. Light Lager.
Stupid. It is so stupid.
And then
stupid
we also
good.
We make a beer called House. It's our international style lager. We have Vodnik. It's a Czech style pilsner. Mm. Dry hopped with only noble hops. And then we have Spielplatz, which is a German lager also. Make a Vienna lager. We make a Mexican lager. I mean, we do a lot of lagers. And that's we make those stouts, and not to speak for anyone again, we make those stouts essentially to fund our passion projects, which is lagers, you know. We do really enjoy getting into the hazy IPAs because trying to get your own interpretation of a hazy IPA to be different from someone else's is kind of tough at this point because everyone's used every combination of hop.
Yeah.
Goes back to those ingredients, the ingredients issues that you have with stouts. It's like, well, someone's done this. Same thing with IPAs, but we like those a bunch. But yeah, lagers, I mean, like, to formulate a recipe for a lager, we're so overly critical. Not that we aren't for every other beer, but we're so overly critical because, like, it's truly the purest expression of what a beer should be.
Hands
to
out,
us.
Man. That's why we love making him do. Like, while he chews on a popsicle of meat.
I kept looking around. I kept looking around for my phone because so badly I just wanted to just get a photo of him just sitting there talking with this little spear of meat. Yeah.
No, we were just talking
it's
about.
Tasty.
Oh, it looks like it, man. Yeah. I forget who I was talking to recently when they, like, because I'm sure you guys get the same question all the time when people start asking you, like, oh, it's a brew. What do you like to brew all the time? I don't know what your answer is. Mine is usually lagers just because of the fact that you can't really hide much. You can have a lot of really fun, expressive things with very minute changes to them, especially when it comes to water profile, malt bill, all those kind of things too.
For lagers,
and
that
it's
water
what you
profile
want to drink.
Is so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that would just help.
To be completely honest with you, I'm okay, man. I'm okay with that. That looks wet.
The meat man.
So diving into like more of the operation side of it, we at Engertair, we get pre-milled grain. We also don't have rakes, so my answer is always lager because it's the smallest grain bill.
Oh yeah,
because I have to stir it myself, and it's one of those things where when you're doing stout, you dump a bag in, you have to stir. You dump a bag in, you have to stir, and you have to do that for 24 rounds. Like, there's 24 bags of malt in a stout for us, and that means I have to pour a bag in and stir 24 times over. So when I'm making a lager, you know, a sub 4 to 6%er, depending on the style, it's like 8 bags of malt. It's like 8 to 12 bags of malt, and it's so great because it's like, I don't even break a sweat mashing that in anymore. It's awesome.
You guys get pre-milled shit now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was so funny. For like a good 6 months or more, you weren't.
No, just, yeah, we, I mean, you know.
They were such angry people.
You have a lot of breweries out there, you know, you have, like, if you're doing it well, you got the auger, you got the mill, that's great. You can dial it into 0.32, 0.33, whatever the fuck you want to do, and that's awesome.
Is that just how crushed it is?
Yeah.
Okay. But also, yeah, so those are, the 0.33 or whatever is millimeters that he's talking about. Just depends on the crush of your grain. So, like, you're going to want a finer crush for specialty malts than you will for base malt.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on your system, too. Like, some people like to go really fine because their system can handle it. Some people like to go a little more coarse, those kind of things, too. And then we also did the quick math on it one time. We were like, man, we just have somebody else do this for us.
It was save, like, 1 penny more a bag or something, wasn't it?
A penny more. It was like 1/10 of a penny a pint. We were like, dude, we would save ourselves 2 hours a day.
It was so funny when the, like, huzzah moment happened.
But I mean, like, please, mill your own stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're out there doing that, definitely, like, fine tune it. But if you're on the fence and you're like, well, pre-mill just isn't as good, be like, go fuck yourself, man. It's great. They know what they're doing. They dial it in and they're shipping it right to you. Obviously, people are doing fine with it. So.
You don't have the chance of dropping a mill on someone's pee-pee, so.
Well, I didn't.
It was damn fucking close.
Well, he shouldn't have had his pee-pee there.
You ever hear the story of how Chris almost took Doug's pee-pee off with the mill when they were moving it when they first got it?
I did hear that story. And if anyone ever touched Doug's pee-pee in an inappropriate way, I'm coming for you, bud.
You hear that, mill?
Coming for you, mill.
Oh, man.
In that defense, though, I'm pretty sure, like, at least 3 things headed out for Doug's pee-pee when we first started brewing that entire, like, first run.
Yeah, you're one of them.
Heyo.
Oh, my God. So
what are we drinking here?
One of your favorite styles to drink.
So, Lupulin Brewing.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of their brand in general. They've
out of Big Lake, Minnesota. So, what we got here is an Imperial Stout infused with cacao nibs and orange peel. I think it's called Lateralis.
Yeah, I'm glad you're trying to say it because I didn't have a clue.
Maybe Chris has better luck. I'm
I love
sure.
the Lateralis? All black.
I am
cans.
Colorblind, so that's just a wild looking can.
I the first thing I think of is like any sort of Tool song.
Lateralis.
Yeah, Lateralis. I don't know. Chocolate orange. Is it Imperial Stout?
I think so. Yeah. Mm. It is an Imperial Stout. Yeah, it's 11%.
Oofta. That would explain why.
It's got a jet black can with a crazy looking cool label.
They usually do pretty cool labels, but I think this is one of the only ones they do with the black can. It does look slick.
They've started distributing down this way over the last year, right?
Yep.
All right. So you could probably find their Fashion Mullet, their Hooey, their Blissful Ignorance. These are all some of their core stuff as well.
Blissful Ignorance is really, really yummy. I know for a fact you can get that at GB's most of the time.
And then the truffle version of things that they started doing for a while was pretty solid.
Yeah,
as well, so.
Yeah. You're right.
This is good. It's got a really nice roast profile to it. You can still taste the base beer underneath the adjuncts, which is really special to me. Because nowadays it's all about overpowering your base beer to the point where you can't even tell there's a beer in there anymore.
That is
but
true.
This
that
is pretty
is
good.
Very true.
All right, let me throw a question out there now that you say this, something like that. Word. Right. So with a brand that is basically like exploded with how much they do specific styles in your face kind of flavor profiles, right? Do you guys still get comments and sayings along the line of just like, oh, it wasn't enough? Or like people basically still giving you guys shit of like, oh, they could have done this more, they could have done that more.
Or higher ABVs? Are you like getting pushed for stupid stuff?
ABVs, no. People are always happy with their ABVs. They're That's pretty good. Much in the middle of everything that you would want. I feel like anything 14% and up is going to be too dry and hot. Anything below 10% is going to be too sticky, too thick. Too wordy. Wort is unfermented beer for those that don't know. So too worty. So we kind of hit that 10.5 to 11.5% range where people are happy with it. It's still finishing at 14.5 Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Which is absurd. but you know, we target specifically that. So we're hitting the head on the mark, but absolutely people will come in and say, not enough coconut, not enough coffee, not enough maple, not enough vanilla. And it's tough because you're trying to find a balance between all these ingredients that some of them don't work together. You have coconut, which is a very sweet, very fatty product. And then you're also adding cinnamon, which gives perceived dryness. And to kind of find the balance between what's too sweet, what's too dry, what's right in the middle is tough. And we always strive. We'll push the timeline back to get this beer right. You know, we'll try to do it the right way.
Very
and
respectful.
It'll always be that one person that's like, not enough coconut, two bottle caps. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, and I appreciate your opinion because you still purchased our product to try it, and thank you for that. But, yeah, I mean, 1,000,000%. Every single beer that we release is, now we have these hop experts because we're doing the hazies, you know, better than we have in the past. Be like, this one said Citra. I'm not hop getting experts. Enough Citra. And it's like, are you sure? Because this is like 88 pounds of Citra and only like 22 pounds of Mosaic. Like, what are you tasting? Just tell me what you're tasting, you know, and it's fine. Like, everyone's going to have their own opinions, and beer is no exception. You know, if we all buy the same product from Amazon, we're all going to have different reviews about it. And it's the same thing with beer. It's so subjective.
Go ahead.
On that same kind of thing, I just to kind of like put an exclamation point on that, I can't tell you how many times where, you know, you talk about the Citra aspect. We've got a beer where it says like XX and Citra, and then it's been 1/10 of the hop bill, and somebody who has no idea what they're talking about, but also has a lot of clout within specific forums, or they're like, they go around and they talk about beers a lot, so therefore they think they know. They'll sit there and tell you like, oh my god, this is the most Citra heavy beer I've ever
had. Citra bomb, dude.
And you have to look at them and be like, yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you like it. I'm so glad you enjoy it. You're absolutely right. Or how many times too, on that same kind of like previous conversation of, you're sitting at a beer, you're trying specific ratios of certain ingredients and things, and you know that's right. You know in your heart of hearts that that's right, but yet you know that you can't send that out because it's not this enough, it's not that enough, and you have to basically tailor it more towards the market, and let them kind of just geek out over something that is far and above in a specific realm what it should have been for the best possible thing for that product.
So we have a name for kind of the thought process behind a lot of the beers that we put out for distribution specifically, or really for any beer. I have what's called a customer's palate. Again, I was a customer of Angry Chair before I ever worked there. I kind of knew what that target demographic was as far as flavor palate goes. And so Ryan's one of the co-owners of Angry Chair. We have a very similar palate. And I like to call it the customer palate because I know if something needs more adjunct. Because I just know what the customer is going to want. Jordan or Horace might say, oh, this product is perfect. It's great. It's got good balance. You can touch all these flavor notes. You can fucking get them all. And Ryan and I are still going to say, needs more coconut.
Yep.
Because we know that that's what the customer wants. And at the end of the day, like, that's what you're in business for. You know, you're there to give the customer what they want. And if you're making, you know, if you opened up a farmhouse brewery in Tampa and you're not selling beers, you kind of understand why you're not selling beers. You need to make a different product. And that's just kind of how we look at it. It's like every beer is like, ah, this is good. Is it going to be better with more coconut? Yes or no. Is it going to be a detriment to the brand? Yes or no. And if it's no, then we'll just add more. But yeah, there's always going to be that guy or that girl that's just like, man, this doesn't taste like what's advertised. They need more of this. And they'll still give it like 4 bottle caps on Untappd.
Yeah, it's insane.
They'll be like, this is the worst Angry Chair beer I've ever had. Four and a half bottle caps.
Can you remember? Out of a fucking ramekin.
And I'm just like, what?
Can you remember off the top of your head your favorite but least favorite Untappd review
for you guys? I think so. Personally, Jordan Kofer and I, Jordan's technically my boss. He's the production manager at Angry Chair Brewing Company. He is literally the best at what he does. I learned a lot from him, and anybody would. We co-created this beer called Full Circle. It's our American Light Lager. We make it the traditional way. We brew a malt liquor, and then we cut it down with decarboxylated, carbonated reverse osmosis water, just like Bud Light would do, just like Miller Light would do, just like Coors Light would do. And what that does is it allows you to maximize your product for the minimal amount of cost. So you take one 10-barrel batch of beer, and now you have 20 barrels of beer because you're cutting it with RO water. If you're brewing a 8% malt liquor and you cut it in half, you got a 4.5% American Light Lager. It's perfect. So we co-created this beer together called Full Circle, and I remember specifically one person reviewed it, says, tastes too much like Coors Light one bottle cap. And to me, that's awesome. That's such a compliment, because there is so much money that goes into macro brewing that they have adopted processes and procedures, and they have equipment that I could only dream of having that they've spent millions and millions of dollars on. And if I can create a product similar to their product without all of that, it's a huge compliment. So I actually took that one in a good way. But I definitely, it's one of my most memorable ones, because that was, again, it's just a big compliment to me. Like, if I can create an American Light Lager that tastes like Coors Light to you, honestly, goal achieved.
Yeah. Y'all are going to buy it.
Because it's like, it's not engineered to be a fucking flavor bomb. It's an American Light Lager.
It's so 4%. Crushable. It is so fucking delicious.
It's 4%.
It's genuinely one of my favorite beers.
It's got a
beers.
Light body. It's straw colored. It's crystal clear. And it's an awesome beer. And that was literally the entire goal.
Yep.
It was not made to be like, you know, Coors Light. But if that's what you get out of it, great.
And let me guess, it sells like hotcakes.
It doesn't.
No?
No, absolutely
what?
Not.
Really?
No, we canned 10 barrels of it 3 months ago, and we have like two cases left.
That is freaking insane. That would legitimately be what I would go to purchase every single week to have at the house.
You know, the price point is great too. I think, you know, you get a lot of these breweries that are selling like $24 four packs, and I mean, you can pick up a four pack of Full Circle for $8 or whatever it is, and
wow,
crush it. It's great. That's
like,
it's literally my daily drinker.
Oh my god. No, you bastards had a slim of it. Didn't you have a slim of it at your house for a while?
I think I did, yeah. So, you know, anything that's partial, in the Eco software, and as far as, like, tracking how much waste we have or how much product that we have, you know, kegged or whatever, it's kind of tough to do partials like that. So if we have, like, a half a sixtal or a three-quarters of a sixtal, I can't count that as a full sixtal because we're going to be taxed on the full amount. And it's not lucrative. So we'll just accept it as loss. Air quotes. And I'll take it home. Or someone will take it home. It's great.
Oh, no!
Yeah,
right?
Like, oh, no.
Or you can bring it here next time.
I remember when they opened their little mini fridge. I'm like, you fucking bastards. Like, are you kidding me?
It's rare that happens anymore because of the way that things are so planned at this point that it's like, we don't get lost like that anymore. It's awesome. It's a great not problem to have. Yeah. But I definitely do miss those days where it's like, oh no, we only have 3.5 gallons of space grass in this keg. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take that home.
Yeah. All right, so we do have to wrap up eventually, just because now we got music starting in the background. Let's be honest.
We do.
It's just thumping.
He's gonna
thumping,
start
thumping,
jamming.
Thumping.
Yep. We will definitely do this again, though.
But my last question that I have, just out of like selfishness, is a beer that you want to brew that you couldn't brew at Angry Chair.
And
what would it be?
What musician or rapper, whoever would you? To know who would you brew
with. That's fine, but like, all right, fine, co-host, whatever, we'll work on it.
I'll do both. I'll answer Chris's question first because
combined.
He asked first.
It's the same question.
I didn't know
what
you were
going
to do it, or else
who?
It would have made a better question. I'm just saying, like, who would you fight in history if you got to fight them
now
with
you have
a
three
rapper.
Questions you have to answer.
Also, favorite cereal, go.
Four questions.
My favorite cereal. Now that's a tough one. I'm honestly gonna have to go fucking Frosted Flakes.
Oh, I forgot you're an 85-year-old man.
Or Raisin Bran. No, Raisin Bran. I'm gonna have to go Raisin Bran with sugar though.
Extra scoop or just single scoop?
What's the difference? What do you mean?
What? More raisins.
Literally twice the amount of raisins.
Literally,
oh, I don't
exactly
care about the raisins
sounds.
Necessarily. They're just a part
just
in the whole process. I like bran. That's why Frosted Flakes I like, because they're basically bran flakes that
super
are frosted.
Fibrous diet you have going on.
Oh, man,
they're just nice, flavorful cereals that don't have too much going on. I don't want the marshmallows.
Man,
I don't want
really
the
good beer.
I don't want the berry flavors. I don't want those things.
I don't want none of that hubbub with your marshmallows and your chocolate.
I get enough of that mubbies.
I definitely don't want chocolate cereal. I feel like that's weird as fuck.
It just makes chocolate milk for you right afterwards.
And I'm definitely the drinker of the milk in the bowl at the end of the cereal, but like I don't want, you know, you guys can just go buy chocolate milk and put that in your cereal, right? Like, you don't need to be eating chocolate cereal. That sounds
also
gluttonous.
Chocolate cereal with chocolate milk. Thank you very much. Can't wait to get diabetes. Here I go.
Ewy.
I don't know. Like, I'll maybe get a seasonal Count Chocula, a box. Not a family box. I'll just get a regular 10.2 ounce box, and it'll take me 4 months to finish. It's just so tough. Chocolate cereal is weird to me.
Yeah, I can't mess with it.
I'm not a sweet breakfast person. I'm not the stuffed French toast guy. I just want a savory breakfast. I want sausage.
I want country fried steak. I want
eggy bakey.
Eggy bakey.
All you need is eggy bakey.
Wakey wakey, eggy bakey.
T-shirt idea. Let's make it happen.
Beer I can't brew that I would love to brew. A super saison. 8%.
Oh, super saison.
Mixed culture saison. Yeah, that's the technical term.
Is it really?
just basically an Imperial Saison. Super dry, not very sweet. 8%+. Mandarina Bavaria hops, white grape must.
Ooh.
Super dry, high ABV, very tannic. I would love to brew it.
I don't think I've ever had an Imperial Saison.
It absolutely would not move well, especially in our tasting room. But that's why we don't brew it. Or just in general.
Yeah.
That's like probably a beer that I've been wanting to do that I can't do. And then person that I want to brew with, I don't want to speak too soon, but we're doing a collaboration brew with Cannibal Corpse here in the next month.
Nice.
Geared up with their album release in mid-April, which actually is this month. And then later on in the year, potentially we're doing a lager collaboration with them for their second album drop this year.
That'd be dope, man.
Which will be rad because I grew up listening to Cannibal Corpse. And
oh,
I just
really?
Think, yeah,
oh, that's
absolutely.
Cool.
They're I mean, you've seen the original Ace Ventura, right?
Yeah.
Where he walks through that metal show, that's Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
really?
They're
playing Hammer Smashed Face.
Honest to God, I did not think I would know who they were at all.
Yeah,
I've heard you say the name a few times,
sure.
But oh, really?
If you don't recognize one of their songs, you at least recognize them from that movie.
Yeah, okay.
And that's really, really
cool.
Awesome they got to do that, and it's really cool that we get to do this. But outside of that, you know, who do I want?
Yeah, like total shot in the dark, like... Who would it be?
Phil Collins. Or Dua Lipa. Let's take it old school and new school. I really like Dua Lipa. You know what? Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, hit me up too. You want to do something? We'll do something. Young Gravy, I don't know. Whatever.
Pub subs in the mash, baby.
Dude, pub subs.
Just literally name it that. Pub subs in the mash.
Get sued immediately. It's great.
That's fine.
It would be worth it. Do one off. Who fucking cares?
And then what musical artist do I want to fight? What'd you say?
Yeah,
who in history would you fight with somebody
in history
as a musical artist as your sidekick?
Okay, easy. So I would choose...
Easy.
I would, here's
when
the thing.
Pause for 20 minutes on what...
I would choose
favorite.
Gucci Mane because he's an apostapa. And if you don't know what that means, it means he carries a fucking gun around and he kills people.
Okay.
He's literally got a... He escaped a murder charge because it was self-defense.
Oh, my God.
And then that's me fighting George Washington. The first president of the United States.
I'm glad you
thank
specified,
because
I know
up.
Three George Washingtons.
Yeah, right. So it's me and Gucci Mane in a time machine fighting George Washington, because the government never should have been a thing. And it's George Washington's fault, to be completely honest with you. So if we kill him, the government never happens. We fast forward back to this time. It's complete anarchy. And it's a completely, like, decentralized system where anything goes, and I think that's rad. So
it's kind of like Outback.
Yeah.
Yeah, no rules,
you know.
Not the steakhouse.
No, not the steakhouse.
No,
there's
like
no shrimps on the Barbie here.
Shiesty shit
no.
going on at Outback, so
well, that was fun.
Yeah, super. I enjoyed myself,
dude. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Honestly.
Especially like a lot of the insight behind all the different facets of things you guys do there.
Yeah.
You guys are obviously extremely well respected for a reason.
Yeah.
And a large part of that is due to you and your team. So
definitely the team.
We
people already appreciate
for you.
You
guys. So
yeah, people already appreciate you, but I think also hearing, you know, even just your opinion on the social and why you run it and you think it's a good idea, I think it's really important and
I think it's a great
adds
idea.
Adds a face.
And if you're a business out there, if you're a business out there and your brewer's running your social media, you better be fucking paying them. because that is two completely separate jobs.
I still can't. I just can't.
I'm so tired of my friends getting walked on doing two positions for the same amount of money as one position.
Absolutely.
Pay your fucking people, guys.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Don't be a dick.
That's all. Love you. Thank you for listening.
Toodles.
Toodles.
Dead.
Dead.